Lord, our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, that we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The scripture today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. The shepherds and the angels. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known that they had been told them about the child, and all who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
My friends, you may be seated. And I do want to say an encouraging word. We have our, the longest night. And I think I do that because when I say the darkest night, I always think Batman's going to show up. But it is the darkest night service. And it really is for anybody who has experienced a loss of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of health. If you are experiencing grief during this time, we want to invite you. Many times when you're experiencing grief and you come to the holidays, you come to Christmas, you don't always feel as joyful as everybody else does. All the lights and the songs and the colors actually can kind of seem to bring you down, not lift you up. And that is how you feel. At 7 o'clock tonight, please come. Pastor Missy, as someone I should have lifted in our prayers, she has the flu. And so we want to pray for her, and maybe next year she'll get a flu shot, right? But I'll be leading that service tonight at 7, and so I want to invite you to come and to be a part of it. But let's pray. Oh, gracious and loving God, we do give thanks. We give thanks for this day. We give thanks for your love. We give thanks for this time to be together, to allow your spirit to speak to our spirit. And so be with us now. May we hear your words, words that challenge us, words that comfort us, words that help us to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, a survey was done to see which character from the Advent account most people identify with. So what do you think? You think most people identify with the Virgin Mary? No. Really, there's not any of us can really say we understand that at all. What about Joseph? Well, no. The wise men? Well, quite a few people claim to be wise men, but I don't think many are, okay? What about angels? You know, we have some angelic people that we know in our lives, don't we? Well, no. Anybody want to be Herod? Anybody identify with Herod at all? All right. You know, it's not surprising. The character that most people identify with in this story are the shepherds. Now, when I was a kid, I always wanted to play the shepherd in a Christmas kind of musical or program. And I never got to be. I was always told that I had to be the palm tree or the rock. And I was told that only I could do it because it was such an important part. But you know, most of us are pretty comfortable with the Christmas story. I think maybe we're actually too familiar with it, and it's become part fable and part legend in our own minds. Some of us have sentimentalized it so much that we just skim along at a very superficial level. And what we're really doing is we're just counting down the remaining shopping days and stressing about all the things that we really need to do for Christmas, but we totally neglect the nativity. It reminds me of the little girl who misquoted John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son." That's what we have to be careful of, because that'll become a reality for us if we don't take particular attention to this story, to the Advent story, and not just skim across it, but to really enter into that story and find a message that God is speaking to us today. And I think it starts with the shepherds, somebody that we can all identify with. The shepherds received good news about the gift, a gift that continues to go on today, a gift that is still given. And we too can experience the joy that the shepherds found. I find it very interesting that God chose to send the birth announcement to shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 doesn't tell us much about who these shepherds are. There are no adjectives that are used to describe them. The scripture says, "And they were shepherds living out in the fields nearby." You know, throughout history of Israel, shepherding was a noble profession. Abel was the first to have his job, and his brother was even jealous of him. It didn't work out well for Abel. But in those footsteps, Abraham was a shepherd. Isaac was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. Moses, and of course, King David, before he became a king, he was a shepherd boy. And God, God's self, is a shepherd, right? Which that makes us God's sheep. But you get the point. By the time we get to the first century, however, shepherding has lost all of its luster. Shepherds made up the lowest class of people, coming in just a little bit ahead of lepers. In the Talmud, which is a collection of interpretations and insights from rabbis, we read these words concerning shepherds. "No help is to be given the heathen or the shepherd." In order to understand how unusual it was to have the angels appear to these lowly shepherds, here's something about shepherding, okay? A few things. Shepherds are considered ceremonially unclean. Because of the nature of their work, they were unable to attend any religious services. Shepherds were the isolated and the forgotten. Because their flocks needed to be moved around to find new grass and fresh water, they never stayed in any one place for very long. Shepherds were treated with contempt and mistrust. They were often suspected of stealing. Their testimony was never allowed in court because they were not thought of as because they were thought of as unreliable. Shepherds were known to be brash and bold, akin to what we think of sailors today. Most had foul mouths and were always ready to fight. So here it is. God entrusts the greatest message ever sent from heaven to earth to a bunch of shepherds, the lowest of the low. Now, Jesus came to those who felt horrible. Jesus came to those who were humble. Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 and 13 says this, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have not come to call the righteous. I have come to call the sinners." And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus reached out to the sinners, to the tax collectors like Zacchaeus and Matthew, to the prostitutes and to the demon-possessed, to the strangers and to the Samaritans. Paul said it best in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things, so that none may boast before the Lord." As we look at the shepherd's response, we'll see some lessons that we can apply to our lives. The first is to be attentive. You know, that's the thing about these shepherds. They were out tending their flock. They were taking care of them. They were attending to their job, and they were attentive to their job. They were committed, because you know what? Their work never stopped, and they never had leave. Their job was a 24/7, 365-day-a-year job, and they did their job. But I think what's so interesting is that God came to them. And because they were at their job, they heard God. Because an angel showed up, and that's the second thing. And they were awed. I know that in the book of Hebrews, it actually says that we have entertained angels and not even known it. And I think you want it that way, okay? Because every account in the Bible about an angel showing up is nothing short of absolutely terrifying. All right? And that is exactly what the shepherds had to deal with. Because when the angels showed up, their response was terror. Because you know what? That is not a response that is far-fetched. Because you know that when you're a sinful human being and holiness comes right before you, what's your response to that going to be? In awe. Matter of fact, they were probably thinking, this is the angel of death coming to make good on all the bad things I've done. But that's not what the angel says, is it? The angel says, peace, be calm. I have good news on this day. I want you to know that you are loved, that you are accepted. When was the last time that when you had an encounter with God, you felt awe? You know, awe is such an interesting word, isn't it? I know that for my own life, one of the things that I felt awe, I remember when I was a young kid and I went to the Grand Canyon for the first time. And you know, you can see pictures of the Grand Canyon. You can have people tell you about the Grand Canyon. But until you're actually there and you're standing there and you look over and you're looking a mile down and you're looking at how big and how wide and how amazing it is, and you think to yourself, this is incredible. And there's a little part of you that goes, boy, I know this railing's here, but I really hope I don't fall. Because you kind of feel like this thing could just swallow you up. I think that's what's meant by awe. And that sometimes we lose that when we talk about God. God loses God's bigness because we've made God really safe and really small. But in worship, do we allow God to be big? Do we allow God to be God? Do we allow God to be something that is beyond our ability to completely understand? And that with that, there is the unknown, and that unknown can sometimes feel like it could swallow us. And so there's a little bit of awe, of fear, when you approach God. That's how the shepherds must have felt. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just something that makes us go, you know what? There is something in this life bigger than us. But you know what the other good news is? This thing that's bigger than us, it likes us. And it's okay. It's not going to hurt us. We may not understand it completely, but God has come into the world and into our lives. Because that's the third point. And that is, they accepted. They were attentive, they were awed, and they accepted. They accepted the message. Because what was the message? The message is what we find in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people." Basically, the angel's saying, calm down. I've got news for you. You're accepted. You're forgiven. There's hope. When you think about your faith, my friends, do you get joy? Do you feel happiness? Do you feel a sense of worth? You know, there's a contradiction in terms when you say joyless faith. There is no such thing. If you have really faith in God, it's going to be filled with joy. You're going to be filled with an abiding presence of God's love in your life and in your heart. It's going to make a difference. Now, some of you have lost your joy. You've allowed the world to just beat it out of you. Some of you may have just given it away. But either way, you lost it. Because what you ended up losing is you lost your grip on Jesus. And that's okay, because the good news is, and this is what the angels say, is Jesus hasn't lost his grip on you. And so just live into it. Understand that you are in the palm of an almighty God who holds you right now. And that's kind of awe-filling right there, okay? And then know that you are loved with an immeasurable love, that you are provided for, that you're taken care of. And lastly, what do? They acted. They didn't just accept the message and go, whew, good. I'm glad that angel wasn't the angel of death. That's good news. All right, let's go back to the sheep. No. They said, you know what? They looked at each other and they said, we got to do something. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's check this out. Come on, guys, road trip. And that's what they do. Now, do you understand the irony of this, people? This is not the group of guys who wants to go look at babies. Matter of fact, if you're a mom with a newborn, this is not a group of guys you want coming to see your baby. But that's exactly what they do. Let's go check out this child. Let's go look at this baby. They went and they saw. And when they saw, they fell down and they worshiped. And then they went and they told other people about what had happened. They just couldn't keep their mouth shut. Now, unfortunately, because they're shepherds, I'm sure they weren't taken at their word. But it didn't keep them from sharing. I think that's one of the ways that if you're for a reason right now, if you're sitting there right now and you're going, you know what, I just don't feel it this year. I don't feel that Christmas spirit. Well, I'm here to tell you that faith, we got to think of faith not just as a noun. We got to make it a verb. It's got to be action-oriented, okay? It's really not a lot of good if it's not action-oriented. Because I'm going to tell you that faith as a noun as something that just kind of sits there and does nothing, it's going to be exactly that. You're not going to get anything out of your faith. But if you'll take your faith and you'll turn it into a verb, and you'll make it into something and you do something with it, you're going to find, hey, I found Christmas. Or rather, Christmas found me. And one of the ways you can do it is just by sharing the good news. Now, some of you are good at this. Some of you have no problem talking to others about Jesus. Others of you are sitting there right now thinking, Pastor, you're crazy. I just don't do that. And what I'm going to hear, I'm going to give you an easy out, okay? And that is invite them. Bring them to church. It's not just about information. It's about invitation. Bring them here. Because if you can't tell them about Jesus, I can. Pastor Missy can. Pastor Harold can. Our choir can. Every hymn they sing can. Every song they hear will. The Bible that we read will. The symbolism in our church will. Our chrismon tree. Every symbol on that tree represents Jesus Christ. That's why it's called a chrismon tree. Okay? My friends, everything we have here points us to Christ. So if we have that here, then why aren't you bringing people here? Who are you going to bring to church on Christmas Eve? You got a neighbor that is hurting right now, that needs the good news that only Christ can give them. Another pat on the back from you is a nice thing, but give them what they really need. And if you can't tell them, bring them here. We'll do it. That's what we love to do. That's what we love to do. And I promise you, it'll help you get into the Christmas mood too. People focused on Christ at Christmas. Man, what's the world coming to, huh? Because Christmas, my friends, is real history. But you know what? We have to come to allow Christ to be born in our hearts again. Corrie Ten Boom, a Christian survivor of a Nazi concentration camp, a Christian speaker and an author, has said this: if Jesus was born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not once in me, then I would still be lost. My friends, my prayer for each of you is that this Christmas, Christ may be born anew in your heart and in your life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.